When any government, or any church for that matter, undertakes to say to its subjects, this you may not read, this you must not see, this you are forbidden to know, the end result is tyranny and oppression, no matter how holy the motives. And that quote comes from Robert A. Heinlein. Welcome to Surviving the Matrix, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Maxwell Egan. It's a pleasure to be with you once again, and I'll be your host for the next hour. And folks, it would seem that our governments are certainly telling us there are a very large number of things that we may not do. Interestingly, in America, we are seeing what appears to be the government telling its citizens that something that they may not do is leave the country. We've seen a new bill introduced which says that if you owe any back taxes, if you owe the IRS any money at all, then you will not be allowed to leave the country. And we're also seeing a new House resolution. They just keep churning them out, folks, virtually pumping them out like sausages. And the latest House resolution we've seen from Obama is Bill H.R. 1505, which is the new U.S. border security bill. And what this bill is going to do is that it's going to create a 100-mile buffer zone around the country. Well, I'm not sure if they've tricked the American people into believing that, well, we've been having all this trouble with Canada for all these years and that they may well get invaded by Canada. But what they are doing is they are establishing a 100-mile buffer zone where there will be drones flying around in the sky and there will be helicopter pads. And I wouldn't be surprised if they were to put up a barbed wire fence and watchtowers, folks, to be quite honest. And what we really seem to be seeing is America's new modern high-tech version of their very own Iron Curtain that they are currently in the process of erecting around the entire United States. But what this bill basically does, folks, is it creates a 100-mile buffer zone along the southern and the northern borders, which includes 15 national parks and nearly 25% of the overall footprint of the U.S. national park system. It puts all of this land into the control of, guess who, your best friends, Homeland Security, and basically suspends the enforcement of almost all the U.S. environmental laws upon any lands that are under the jurisdiction of the Department of Interior and Agriculture within 100 miles of the border between Mexico and the United States and the border between Canada and the United States. Now, I don't think it's actually gone through yet, but it's definitely on the table. And this is just the sort of stuff that they are doing, folks. And I wouldn't be surprised at all if it does come through. And of course, if it doesn't, well, they'll just repackage it and they'll bring it in later, because that's the way they always do it. But it really would seem that the United States government is in the process of erecting what amounts to an iron curtain around their country. And they've been moving towards this for a while, folks. And even with this move, you won't really see it played out to its fullest degree at the moment. It's just done in gradual increments, and it's a very slow and very ongoing process. But what we see here is a further tightening of the noose. You see, America's gone, folks. It's absolutely gone. The United States that we knew and that we thought we knew is no longer there. But then it's not just the United States, of course. It's also happening here in Australia. And it's also happening in Canada, it's happening in New Zealand, it's happening in England. In fact, every country that the Crown Corporation has ever touched is getting locked down more and more and more. All the countries are being manoeuvred into positions where they are becoming interdependent upon each other so that economic sovereignty and self-sustainability can never be achieved by any country. All the industries are being removed from these countries because that's a good way to get people involved in the war machine. I mean, obviously, when people have to pay to be alive and the only job that's available is in the military, well, the options of the citizens are very limited as to what else they can do in order to collect the paper that they need in order to exist on Earth. And heaven forbid there should be any race that exists on the Earth that isn't required to collect paper in order to do so. All hail the joys of a fictional economic system. And of course, this is also a good way to get people involved in the mining industry, folks. Just pay them obscene amounts of paper in order to go out and destroy the planet. And of course, ensure that there are very little other jobs that will pay you obscene amounts of paper. I mean, that's just the way the system has been designed. It's very clever, folks. It really is clever, the way it's been put together. But unfortunately, what it is leading to is the complete breakdown of the entire system, both ecologically and socially. And in a very, very short time, folks, a matter of a couple of decades, the world is going to be an extremely different place to what it is now. And it will indeed be very, very tightly controlled. And this is just the way it's heading, folks. This is just the way the world's going. And it's going to continue heading in this direction until the people of the planet wake up to what's going on and choose to stand up and do something about it. We've had all sorts of people looking at ways that they can do something about it. Many people have been going down all sorts of avenues with things such as the Free Man Movement, the Trust Law Movements, the Sovereign Movements, and even the Occupy Movement. I mean, there's all sorts of things that people have been getting involved in an attempt to extricate themselves from this system. Of course, it's a very tricky process, but the point is that there are lots and lots of people now that are realizing that they are caught up within the web of a fictional system. And they've been basically bound into a corporate system that they never knew they were involved in, that they never asked to be involved in, and so people are looking for ways to extricate themselves from it. And that's why we're seeing so many people jump on the bandwagon, so to speak, with all of these movements. That's why we saw the Occupy movement attract so many people, because everybody knows there's something wrong, and they're just all looking for the way out. And look, all of these law movements are good, and we need to be investigating all of these things. But as I've said time and time again, what we really need to do is to occupy ourselves. Because when we do fully occupy ourselves, and we fully understand what we are, and we see other people around us as being as valid as we are, then the barriers between ourselves and our neighbors and the people in our community break down. And it's when we have this power of community, we can take the world in any direction we want. We can change everything if the community demands that it's changed. If the government enacts legislation and the community doesn't like that legislation, if the community stands up en masse and demands that that legislation be revoked and removed, and possibly even that the person who enacted it be held accountable, then there's very little that the powers that be can do, because they have to follow the demands of the people. But this only happens if the people stand united. And therein lies the key, folks. This is what I've been saying for years. You've got to have this united community. The power of a united community can achieve virtually anything, folks, and it can do so without the need of violence, simply through the sheer weight of numbers. And if violence is instigated against an empowered community by the powers that be, then the strength of numbers in the community has the ability to repel virtually any violent act that's brought against it because of the sheer strength of numbers. I mean, violence must, of course, sometimes be used, but only in order to repel violence. Now, you only ever need to show enough force to repel that force which is attacking you. It's when you then make the mistake of going on the attack, you begin to become that which you are fighting against. And that's where you have to draw the line. But of course, you know, in all of these things that I'm saying with the power of community and non-violent non-compliance, I'm not saying don't defend yourself if you're attacked. I mean, of course, if you are attacked, you should absolutely defend yourself. But you should never become the attacker, because to do so simply compounds the problem. I mean, take the American War of Independence, for example. The American War of Independence was basically fought because the British Empire was inflicting itself upon the American people, and the American people repelled that attack. But they didn't then go on to build a navy and go and attack England. They didn't become that which they hate, or that which they were defending themselves against. And this is the way you need to approach reality around you, folks. You can always repel an attack, but you don't need to then become the attacker. Of course, folks, even when you do defend yourself when you're attacked, it's often misconstrued by the authorities and taken as an attack against the authorities rather than an act of self-defense. Just a few days ago here in the town that I live, there were some young guys out at night. They'd probably had a little bit to drink, and they were being a little bit disorderly, but nothing too bad. And the police kind of approached the young men, and they escalated the situation to the point where one of the police officers pulled out capsicum spray and sprayed one of the young men in the eyes. The young man is incidentally still in hospital, suffering severe burns to his eyes. And when his mates jumped to his defense, suddenly we had an article in the paper the next day how a group of violent youths had attacked the police and now are calling for camera surveillance systems to be put all around the town. And what we see here, of course, folks, is a classic case of problem reaction solution, because the police escalated the problem to the point where it became violent. I mean, the police were the ones who started the violence by producing capsicum spray and spraying the eyes of a young man. And of course, folks, this is terrorism. This is absolutely terrorism, because capsicum spray, things such as this, are for police to be able to defend themselves against violent offenders. But what you find is that with things such as capsicum spray and with tasers, police are using these devices in order to force people to comply with their wishes. Now, if you look up the definition of terrorism in the Oxford English Dictionary, terrorism is defined as violence or the threat of violence carried out against civilians as a means of coercion, often for political reasons. This is exactly what the police are doing in order to force the citizens to comply with their wishes. They're not defending themselves against violence, folks. They are using these devices to force people into compliance. And this is terrorism by definition. The Oxford English Dictionary, folks, this is the dictionary that defines the English language. And according to that dictionary, that is what terrorism is. And folks, even by making a demand of someone, a police officer who makes a demand of someone is actually exercising a right of ownership. And we have slavery clauses in all of our countries that forbid anyone from being compelled to perform any task or action against their will by any other individual. And this is what the police are doing. They are exercising a right of ownership. And if people fail to comply, then the police are resorting to terrorism in order to coerce them into compliance. And this is exactly what's happening on our streets. And people need to wake up to it, and they need to start making noise about this sort of stuff, folks. And if a police officer does attempt to exercise a right of ownership over you, then you need to let him know that you intend to hold him accountable, and that you'll be holding the person within the uniform accountable, the man within the uniform. You're not taking action against the New York Police Department or whoever it is. You are going to be taking action against Mr. John Smith, whatever the officer's name is. You're going to be taking action against that man, the man within the uniform, and you are going to be holding him accountable for his actions, because you will find that in every country you have anti-slavery legislation which will clearly state that you may not be compelled to perform any task or action against your will. And this is regardless of what legislation's been put in place, folks. And you've got to understand that any police officer that does resort to violence when violence has not been used against him is a terrorist. Pure and simple, folks. And people need to start viewing things in this way, and they need to be making complaints about these people, but doing it through the right avenues. A good way, you will have some sort of an ombudsman, some sort of a watchdog body in your country. Here we have an organization called Ethical Standards, where if a police officer exercises a right of ownership over me, I'm able to contact Ethical Standards and let them know. I also contact the highest law in the land, which is the Attorney General, and I let him know. And I also contact someone like the Police Insurance Ombudsman in order to let the insurance company that insures the police officer know what this police officer is getting up to. Because if you inform a police officer's insurance company of the actions of the officer, then it will affect the officer's ability to insure himself, and an uninsured police officer is unable to work on the police force. So there are all these avenues that you can take, but you've got to approach these people in the right way. You've got to talk to them in the right way, and you've got to stand firm in your convictions. Be polite, don't be aggressive, and take the correct avenues in order to deal with them, because once you start doing things this way, once you've registered a few complaints against police officers, you'll find the rest of the force pretty well leaves you alone, because you found the way to actually affect them where it means something, and that is to affect their employment, which is, of course, to affect their means of collecting paper. And they don't like it when you stop the paper flow, folks. So that's the approach that people need to have. Now, folks, a little bit earlier on in the show, I said that what we are seeing is going to lead to a complete breakdown of the system, a breakdown of the ecological system, a breakdown of the social system, and virtually a breakdown of all the Earth systems. This is what we are heading towards, and this can really be clearly seen because it's the only logical conclusion to our actions. But what many people are failing to see is that this is a controlled breakdown. The old adage of ordo ab chao, order out of chaos. And this is what's being played out right before our eyes. You see, as the Earth systems break down and the social systems break down and the environmental systems break down, we will see the control and surveillance grid become more and more visible, and we'll see more people being drawn into mass population areas. See, what we're seeing, folks, is Agenda 21. What we are seeing is the consolidation of the corporate system. Now, folks, I've done entire shows where I've talked about the concept of total criminalization. I've talked about how every time things become more visible, the cost of living is ramped up in order to keep people running faster and faster on the treadmill so they never have time to deal with what's going on around them. And we're seeing all of this stuff being played out as well. The cost of electricity, the cost of basic services in countries now are literally going through the roof, causing people to run faster and faster and faster. And of course, as these prices raise, more people are discarded by the system, they become homeless, and so we see them getting into more conflict with authorities and councils, and they end up being brutalized and terrorized by police, and they end up incarcerated within the prison system. And while the cost of being alive is being ramped up more and more all the time, we are finding jobs within all industries becoming scarcer and scarcer and scarcer. And the only jobs that are really opening up are jobs in the military, jobs in the mining industry, or jobs in basic construction or hospitality. So as the cost of living is rising and rising, it's becoming harder and harder for the average people to find employment. Of course, there still may be some factory work in certain countries doing things such as weapons manufacture, but apart from that, it really is getting extremely limited in what people can do to collect the paper that they need in order to be alive. And prices just keep going up. And this is all being done by design, folks. It's all being done to further widen the gap between the controllers and those who are controlled. And it's basically bringing this discarding of humanity up to a very, very refined and very dramatic level. And there are a great many other systems of control that are being employed as well. And one of the most important of them is the control that is exercised over the food of the people. And it isn't just control over the flow of food and the marginalization of different countries that occurs, it's also control over the food itself. And what I'm talking about, of course, is the genetic modification of the food. Now, there have been all sorts of tests done on animals, on rats and mice, which show very, very clearly that genetically modified food is very damaging to animals that eat it over successive generations. And yet, this food is being quite literally forced upon people in Western nations. And of course, there are some nations that have woken up to this, nations such as Hungary, which burnt thousands of acres of Monsanto corn and banned Monsanto corn from the country because they can see how damaging it is to the environment and how damaging it is to people who consume it. And look, there's a lot of people, a lot of farmers who know this as well, but the problem is that they're being forced into using Monsanto seeds anyway due to practices such as geoengineering or chemtrails, because a lot of the stuff that's in the air in the chemtrails, a lot of the aluminium content of the chemtrails is affecting the soil in very adverse ways. And so many people's crops are failing unless they use Monsanto aluminium resistant seeds. And so even for people who are growing organic gardens, these gardens are being attacked by the very elements themselves because of what this system is putting into the atmosphere, what it is putting into the rain, what it's putting into the water systems and the entire ecological system of the planet. There really is a massive genetic alteration program happening on Earth, folks, a massive program to genetically modify all life on the planet. And this is really the only logical conclusion I can come to when I look at all of the things that are being done. Because when you do take it all into account, when you look at what is actually in the chemtrails, when you look at the amount of GM food that's being forced upon the people, and you look at the studies that have been done on this food, then you start looking into things such as research that's been done on saliva samples, research that's been done on atmospheric samples, soil samples, water samples. And you really start looking at things and putting things in perspective. And this is actually what's happening, folks. We are seeing a mass genetic modification program that's been carried out on virtually the entire planet. And it's happening right under people's noses. And it's happening without their permission. And this is also Agenda 21. This is the artificial splitting of the species that's been talked about and been suggested by so many researchers. It's actually happening right now, and people just aren't paying attention. And not that it's their fault that most of them aren't paying attention, because most of them have been indoctrinated into this system, into this social system, into this corporate and business system, and they actually think it's real, and they're kept so busy running so fast on the treadmill that they simply don't have time to stop and look around and see what's really going on here. And folks, this is what's going on. Well, according to all the evidence, anyway. And so, of course, the question becomes, okay, well, we know it's going on, so what do we do about it? That's the problem. It's one thing to know all this stuff and to be aware of it around you, but the question is, how do we combat what's happening? How do we turn things around? And, of course, the only way we're going to be able to do that is by increasing public awareness. And everybody can do their own little bit to do that, folks. There's all sorts of ways to increase public awareness, even something as simple as a bumper sticker on your car. I'm getting some Crow House bumper stickers actually made up, the crowhouse.com. I'm going to be sticking one of them on my car and giving them out to friends. I'm sure there's places online that you can go to purchase bumper stickers and things, folks. I mean, you can just go there and make your own up. I mean, I could probably get some made and try to sell you Crow House bumper stickers, but you could always go and get some bumper stickers yourself. Just order half a dozen or 10 or something online and give them out to your friends. Do it for not just my website, but other websites that you think will help and other pieces of information that you think people need to know. Simply Google New World Order. I mean, anything, folks. You could put anything anywhere just to help increase public awareness. You can start having group meetings with friends in your area. Start having group meetings with the community and discussing these issues with them. Not forcing information down their throats, not ramming paranoia down their throats or forming militias or anything, but just talking to people, working to help people understand what's going on a little bit more and working to build support and unity and camaraderie within your community. Just getting to know people and helping them become aware so that you all know you have each other's backs, and that if there is difficulty in some area with the government or with the council, then you're all going to stand together. And start doing things in your community, folks. It doesn't matter if there's legislation there that says you can't. You've got to start acting in civil disobedience. But you've got to be doing so with the support of your community, because all of your community needs to stand together with you. That's the thing. Non-compliance, folks, but it's got to be done on a mass level. You've got to have communal support. So you need to be having these meetings, having town meetings, having information nights, discussion nights. All the things that we used to have in the old days that formed those bonds within our community. Learn the power of giving. Start giving to your neighbours. Start giving to people around you. Not just material objects, but start giving of yourself to people around you. All of these things really, really do make a difference. And these are the things that are missing from our community and missing from our society in modern times. We find ourselves out giving to people, but it's in a very contrived way. Very often we're trying to sell them whatever multi-level marketing product we're using, or it's to do with some other hierarchical system, some social group that we belong to or whatever. But a lot of the real interpersonal contact and interpersonal relations has been taken out of many social groups that people attend. Many of these social groups are very, very contrived. We need to be having just community groups, nights where we all just get together and talk about things that concern us and ways that we can deal with these things in a peaceful and constructive manner. I don't know, folks, I still believe we can do things peacefully. I really do. I don't believe we need violence in any of these confrontations. I mean, as I said earlier, we may need to exercise enough force to defend ourselves on occasion, but I still think there are better ways of doing things. I really do. You know, the potential that we hold as a species, folks, is really so phenomenal. We are really capable of so much. And I really believe that all people really need is an opportunity to be able to step back and see that for themselves. It's just that because they're forced to work within this system and to run so hard and work so hard in order to survive, they really just never get the time to do so. But I think it's break time here, folks, so I'll leave you there for now, and we'll go and have a break. Thank you for joining me on the show today, and I'll speak to you again in a few minutes. And welcome back, folks. Now, a couple of weeks ago, I released a film entitled Transformation. And the film was divided into four sections. The first section was an attempt to at least cause people to perhaps ask a few questions about reality. How did we get here? Where did civilization actually come from? Personally, folks, I find civilization to be fascinating. Just the whole concept of this civilization that we have now is fascinating. I don't know how we would ever have arrived at something like this by our own means. I mean, it just doesn't seem right. When I think about how people would have lived in tribal situations, I honestly cannot see how we developed into something like this. And so the question is really, what happened? What caused us to suddenly form into a civilization that was so disconnected from the earth? Because obviously there were other civilizations that existed beforehand, such as the civilization that built all the pyramid structures around the planet, the pyramids found in Giza, the pyramids found in China, the huge pyramids that have now been found in Bosnia. And these pyramids are huge. They are much, much bigger than the pyramids in Giza. And they are very, very old. They're covered in dirt. They look like mountains, but they're actually pyramids. Actually, work has been undertaken on several of them to begin excavations to reveal the stones that lay beneath the dirt that now covers these structures. So there were other civilizations that existed on this planet that obviously seem to be far more connected to the Earth than what we are today. And so the first section, I was hoping to just perhaps cause people to ask these questions about how did we come up with this, and then to actually see what this is, because what this system is, folks, is simply a meme. It's simply an idea. It's just this concept we have of how reality works. It's this set of fictional rules that have been written down by our masters that tell us we have to behave in a certain way. We have to think a certain way. We have to perform certain actions. And all of it is designed to prevent us from ever being who and what we are. And it's designed to keep us running on this treadmill, collecting paper. Now, there is a huge awakening happening on the planet at the moment. There is a huge shift in consciousness occurring. Whether people believe it's coming or not, it's actually already happening. which is why we are now seeing the treadmill begin to turn so fast in order to keep people distracted from this huge growing awareness, this huge realization that's occurring within human consciousness of how this system actually works. People are beginning to wake up to what reality is, and they're beginning to realize that they are much more than they thought they were. Of course, there's a lot of other people who are still locked within the matrix. There's a lot of people who are still very, very heavily indoctrinated and locked within the machine. But more are waking up around them, and that's causing the awakening to occur to a greater degree throughout all of the community. Just by default, folks, it's like an exponential curve, and once it starts and once it begins, it just keeps climbing. So we are seeing this, but what we have in place is a system which works very, very hard to keep people locked within its own parameters. That's what our education system is. That's what our business structure is. So I also attempted to bring that to the people. I was just really hoping to create something where people would see how simple this control mechanism is, but more importantly, to see that it's actually there. Now, all through society and through the media today, what we see is massive amounts of subtext, and this subtext exists in all movies, in all advertising. It's basically there throughout our entire social and media system. And all of this subtext and advertising is replete with transhumanism, and it's replete with sexual autosuggestion, subliminal sexual autosuggestion. And all of this sexual autosuggestion is specifically geared towards transgenderism. And if you really start looking into this, folks, what you're going to find is that there has been a huge push towards transgenderism in our media in the last few decades. Whether people have realized it's been there or not, it actually has been there all through the pop music culture, through the cartoon culture, all the kids' entertainment. It's all full of subliminal transgenderism. We've seen a huge breaking down of the barriers between the genders, and we've seen a lot of very, very disturbing underlying messages and themes in children's programming that's been coming out in Disney cartoons and things like this, which are specifically designed to activate children's sexuality very early. But it's not activating normal sexuality. It's activating things that are quite different and actually quite disturbing. And we've also seen an extraordinary amount of effort being undertaken to bring about the complete destruction and domination of the divine feminine within our society. And this is happening on all fronts, folks. It's happening within movies where women are taking on more masculine roles within movies and advertising. They're always being portrayed as being very sexual, but they're always taking on very masculine roles. And men are being portrayed as more and more feminine, and though strong, they're often taking a more submissive role than their female co-stars. Within the pop and music industry, we are seeing more and more video clips that are all about physical appearance. They're all about flaunting your body and being very, very sexually active. But very often the clips don't present anything that could be seen as normal sexual activity, because what you find is that women are often portrayed in a very demeaning way, in a way that suggests it's all about sexual promiscuity and sexual dominance of women. So again, we see the destruction of the divine feminine within the pop culture. And this is very clever the way they do this, folks, the sheer psychology involved in this, because you have on one hand women playing very masculine roles and virtually dominating the men in the business place. And on the other hand, you have women portrayed very sexually within the film industry, within the fashion industry, and you have people emulating this in their everyday appearance and being portrayed in a very demeaning way. And so you have this left-right, back-and-forth dichotomy going on, these complete polar opposites of each other going on within the minds of people. And it all contributes to the destruction of the divine feminine. And then even within the political spectrum, we're seeing women of prominence rise to power, but these women have nothing feminine about them. And these women are actually doing all that they can to further the destruction of the divine feminine. This can be very clearly seen in places such as my country, Australia, where we see Julia Gillard in power. And Julia Gillard has absolutely done all she can to assist in the destruction of the divine feminine within our society. She's a very cold-hearted and very calculating and extremely disturbing individual. We're also seeing this in America with people such as Hillary Clinton, who is, of course, another extremely disturbing individual. But it's this attack upon the divine feminine that is helping promote this transgenderist view of society. And this is the direction our society is being led in, folks, because the minds of people within society are being molded by this media machine and all of the subliminals and subtext that exists all around them every day. And what we're seeing is a force, whether it's human or whatever it is, that's attempting to control the evolution of humankind, control the direction humankind is going, and they are bringing about a unnatural splitting of the species through genetic engineering, through transgenderism, and through transhumanism, because it's all tied together. That's the direction that we're going. And this is what I attempted to present to people in the film that I recently released called Transformation, although I didn't specifically touch on the transgenderism in the film. It was mainly more about transhumanism and the genetic modification that most of humanity seems to be undergoing against their will. I am going to be working on a part two of the film to bring you a bit more information, but I just couldn't fit it all in the one film, folks, because it would have been far too long, and I do have several other projects that I'm also working on. But suffice to say, folks, there really is a major attack against humanity that is well underway. There are a lot of forces bombarding the human experience from a lot of different directions. We have all of this subliminal subtext that I've just mentioned, the transgenderism that's being promoted to people. We have the problem of the chemtrails, and I believe chemtrails to be one of the more serious issues that we are facing, folks, because it's one of the hardest issues to alert people to, because people simply don't want to believe this. They don't want to believe that their government could be capable of anything like this, and most of them view it as something out of the Twilight Zone. They just don't see it as a possibility at all. But I truly believe it is one of the more serious issues. Another one of the most serious issues that we face is the wireless technology, the wireless control grid that's being put into place through the use of smart meters, through the satellite grid, through the mobile phones that people carry with them everywhere, because mobile phones do switch your brain. Wireless technology itself switches your brain. I personally don't have any wireless technology at all in my cabin here. I don't have any wireless keyboards, no wireless mouse, nothing like that. I do have a cell phone now, but I keep that in my car and I don't switch it on very often. I look at it once a day to see if my son has sent me any messages. That's the only reason I got that, because I needed to have some form of contact for my son, but I just don't keep it around me and I don't have it switched on all the time. So we have this huge wireless grid that's around us, and this is quite literally electromagnetic pollution, folks, and this affects you in all sorts of very subtle ways electromagnetically. We have also electromagnetism that comes to people via sources such as HAARP, through the flux that the chemtrails, of course, create in the atmosphere. So there are so many systems in place. And not only that, but we also have the television and the media system, the alpha waves from the television, and the rubbish that people are fed on the television, the rubbish that they're fed by the mainstream media. So it's complete and utter saturation, folks. It's bombardment from all directions. And so what we have to do to combat it is to step outside of our houses, get to know our neighbours, get to know people, have these meetings that I've been talking about, and just help people become aware of the situation that we're facing. And you've got to get these gardens happening, folks. Even if there's bad stuff coming down in the chemtrails, you still need to get gardens growing, because you do not want to be eating genetically modified food. staying away from the GM food is a really big part of it. It's a huge part of freeing yourself from the control grid, and it's a huge part of maintaining control of the direction your own body is taking, the direction your own life is taking, the direction your species is taking, because nobody else is going to do it for you, folks. And that's one of the big things that's been taken away from people within modern society, is their connection to the earth, their connection to the food that they eat, because we all used to grow gardens when I was a child. My mother had a garden in her backyard. All the neighbours we knew had gardens in their backyard. Everybody at least grew some of their own food to some degree. And we all lived in cities. We all lived in the suburbs. So I'm sure it can be done again. And even though the suburbs have gotten smaller and the house blocks have gotten smaller, which I believe has been done to simply keep people away from the garden and prevent people from ever being able to grow their own food. But even if you live in a situation like that, I'm sure there's some area within your community that somebody owns where you can put it in a communal garden. These sorts of things are very, very important, folks. And gardens are also great places to get to know your neighbours and to get to know other people who come to the garden, so you can exchange ideas and build this common unity in your community. I mean, I know I go on with this all the time, and I continually say the same thing about common unity. I continually say the same thing about breaking down the barriers and getting to know your neighbours, but in all honesty, folks, I can't see any other way to deal with this, because the problems that we face are quite literally so enormous that we need an enormous mass of people, an enormous movement of people to be able to deal with them. And the only way I can ever see us achieving this enormous movement of people is if we become that movement ourselves. And I think this has to be done on an individual level. I don't think it can be done with any organization. I mean, sure, people will form political parties, the Australian Patriots Party, or whatever party people are forming. And, you know, you can support these sorts of things, not a problem. Every little bit helps. But ultimately, it always comes down to what you do on an individual level. It comes down to who you are inside. Because if you're doing what you're doing for selfish reasons, or you're doing what you're doing out of fear, often things are going to come undone. I mean, I do what I do because I truly and honestly believe that it is the right thing to do. I say what I say because I truly, honestly, and firmly believe it to be the truth. I believe it to be something that I can offer that will help alleviate the human dilemma. I mean, I don't have much to give, folks. All I have to give is my perspective. And that's why I offer my perspective on these radio shows. And that's what I've been doing so for so many years now, because I believe we have a way through everything that we face. I believe we can come out the other side of this tunnel and be better for the experience. I really do. I don't perceive all to be lost, but by the same token, I do have the foresight and the intelligence to see that we have a very large battle ahead of us. And I also think that this battle is getting larger because we've failed to take the opportunities that have been offered to us so far. Because I believe all these problems, all of these corrupt systems that we're facing, all of these things provide opportunities, folks. But we have to see what's going on, and we have to see the silver lining. We have to see the opportunity within the problem. I mean, the world is really going down a very dark corridor of its existence. Well, humankind, the human race, human civilization at least, is heading into a very, very dark corridor of its existence. And the door is swinging shut, but we still do have an opportunity to change things. As long as we can see the darkness around us, as long as we can see what is going on and see what's being created, what's being erected around us. And that's where you come in. That's where the individual comes in, because in sharing this information, you're bringing light to that darkness. In simply causing your neighbours to question things a little bit. And this is, like I said, folks, this is all I was attempting to do in the first section of the new film, Transformation, was to cause people to question things a little bit. Just have a look at your reality. Have a look at civilization. Ask yourself how it got here. Ask yourself if you would come up with something like this. Have a look at the education system and consider what it does and how it creates a system that people seem to think is real, but it isn't. It's just an idea. So that's what I was trying to do in the first section of the film. And I think it's important for people to ask these questions because sometimes that's where the enlightenment comes from. It's in a person's awareness that such questions exist. You don't always have to find the answer, folks. I mean, I can speculate on where we came from, how civilization became this way. But why would you believe me? Why would I expect you to believe me? And why would you think that I would have the answer? Why would you think that anyone would have the answer? Because really the answer lies within. I believe that civilization exists the way it does today because we've lost our connection to that which lies within. And this has caused us to lose our connection with each other, because if we're not connected to ourselves, how can we be connected to anybody else? If we don't understand ourselves, how can we ever begin to understand the reality in which we exist? So the question becomes, why do we not understand ourselves? What happened? How could we have all of this stuff lying around the planet, all of these ancient pyramids, all of these incredible texts and incredible monuments from the past, and not know how they got there? How could we have lost whatever the connection was that we had, which allowed us to build these structures? Because I believe that all of these structures were built by man. I absolutely do. I believe that we had a much higher connection to things. We had a much deeper understanding of reality than we do now. I believe that traces of this understanding can still be found in all of the ancient records. It can be found in all of the modern religious systems. Because you find that all modern religious systems have their basis in ancient Egyptian science, really. And what existed in ancient Egypt wasn't a religion as such. It was more of a religion and a science that was combined. This is something that I touched on in my book that I released way back in 2005 or 2006, called Earth's Forbidden Secrets. And what I suggested was that what you find when you look at Egyptian culture and you look at the Egyptian architecture and all the structures is you find a deeper understanding of reality that was both science and religion combined into a way of life. And that's how humanity used to live. And we have the ability to do that, and I believe we can do it again. But first, we have to know who and what we are. We have to occupy ourselves, folks. You know, the Occupy movement was a wonderful thing, but what people fail to see is that humans already occupy everything. We don't have to go out and occupy Wall Street because we already occupy the entire planet. The problem is that we don't occupy ourselves. We don't know who and what we are, and so we don't know how to stand in the power that we inherently hold. But I believe we can do it. I believe we have the power to be all that we can be, and I believe that we have the opportunity to do so right at our feet, right at our fingertips, if we simply choose to see that it's there. It's all about changing your perception, folks. If everybody simply changed their perception of reality, changed their perspective of reality, and changed their perception of themselves, then we could change the world in 3 seconds. And I know I keep coming back to that as well. But then that's why they keep us on the treadmill, folks. That's why they keep it all going. That's why they keep bombarding you with media, bombarding you with subtext and sexual innuendos, keeping you doped up on fluoride and GM food and chemtrails and electromagnetic radiation, because they simply don't want you to look around and they don't want you to notice what's going on. And people are very, very much kept distracted by all of the above, and thus we have the reality in which we find ourselves today. But we will get through it, folks. I mean, it will probably get worse. I'm sure it will have to get a good deal worse before many people will see it. And this is why the powers that be are attempting to widen the gap between the upper class of the workers and the lower class of the workers, because the wider they can make that gap, the more the rich people not only fail to notice what's going on with the poor people, but when they do notice, they simply don't care because they're too caught up in the paper they've managed to collect, and they've already started to develop a sociopathic attitude towards the people around them, because they're trained to do this, folks. All people are trained to be this way. That's the way our educational, the way our social, and the way our business systems and the hierarchy within them actually works. That's why they are all constructed in a hierarchical manner and in a pyramid manner. So it's all compartmentalized. You don't really care about the people working in the lower departments within your corporation. They are just an expendable wing of the corporation. And so it goes on all the way up the pyramid, so that the higher you get on a level of the pyramid, the less you perceive what is going on below you. And so more and more of humanity is discarded along the way. Very clever system, folks, but it is becoming very exposed. It's actually exposing itself. That's the problem with fascism. It ends up exposing itself and its workings become very clear. Hopefully they will become clear enough for all to see before the final key is turned and the final bars come down and humanity will rise to the occasion. And that's where shows like this come in, and that's where the things that you do out there also come in, folks. That's why it's so important to spread information and why it's so important to lead by example in all that you do. Well, we're nearly at the end of the show here. Thank you to all the people who have emailed me and given me kind words about the new film. I'm pleased at the reception that the film has had. I'm sorry if some of the information in there is a little disturbing, but that's just the way it goes. The film is available for download from thecrowhouse.com now. The full version is also posted on Vimeo, and I have a link to that on the film's page on my website, thecrowhouse.com, as well. I've had a lot of people contact me asking me when the DVD of the film will be available, and I have to say that will be available as soon as I get the time to finish the cover and label art, folks. I've got so many things on, but I will endeavour to get that completed for you, and hopefully, tentatively, the DVD may be available within the next month or so. Thank you to all the people who have ever shown support to the website. It is very much appreciated and always very much needed. It's the only thing that keeps the site going, folks. I've got it up there completely free of all forms of advertising. Everything on the website is for free. There's absolutely nothing there for you to buy. It's all free, and the only thing that enables me to do that is the donations that you, the people, make to the website. So thank you very much for helping me keep it going, because you really have provided me with a lot of the faith that I use to continue doing what I do. But that is it for me, folks. We are completely out of time. Thank you very much for spending this time with me today. It's been a pleasure to have your company. I'm actually going to be having 2 weeks off the radio now. I've got some stuff I have to do, but I will be back on the third week to continue the radio shows. Frank will be playing a couple of reruns between now and then, and I'll be back again with a new show around about mid-May. Thank you again for spending this time with me today. I will look forward to speaking to you again in 3 weeks from now. Please take care until then. In La Quiche.